This is Harv Aronson of the Total Sports Recall Podcast, and I recently decided to give Sterling Soap Company's Ground Breakfast Blend coffee a try. While brewing, the aroma was inviting, and the taste? Lightly sweet and delicious, as the texture of this amazing coffee was sweet and smooth, as I experienced a coffee with a velvety texture, almost creamy. Sterling's breakfast blend is light but in no way weak, with a high quality taste and smell. My wife and I are now hooked on Sterling Soap coffee, and you should be too. Check out their coffees and other products at sterlingsoap.com. That's S-T-I-R-L-I-N-G soap.com.
This is our league, and this is your league. Broadcasting from the 55-yard line in Japan to the shores of the Great White North and everywhere around the world on Gridiron America Radio and the Sports History Network.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Gridiron. I was about ready to say Gridiron Japan. Gridiron America today. It is Greg and Dave sitting here tonight. Mike can't make it. So it's just the two of us, and we're coming off 4th of July weekend and Canada Day weekend. And where Dave's at, they kind of celebrate both up there. So how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great. Happy 250th to everybody here in the States, and happy Canada Day. Yeah, we're so close that we do both.
Yeah. Here and just back over here, it's just another rainy weekend for us here in Japan. So, we had a lot of football this weekend. The last 4 days, obviously. Four games, and well, not only did we have four outdoor games, we had a bunch of indoor games, which we're not covering, but a lot of which were on YouTube from what I saw. There was arena football is playing on YouTube now, apparently, which I did not realize. Have you watched any of it?
I stumbled upon a bunch of games. I can't keep track of all the leagues anymore. There are so many leagues. Yeah. There seems like there's a league that's playing all their games in like large dome stadiums and or large arenas where the field sits in between. So it's not like the old dashboard system. It's like this big 50-yard, 100-yard field, and the arena field is tucked in the middle of it. So there's a lot of games going on. Anywhere and everywhere that could get a football field down and put a team together is playing. So
yeah, even over level, here the yeah, even the X League, they're in their regular season. And to be honest with you, since, you know, I put Gridiron Japan, put that in on stasis, basically, I haven't really followed the X League at all. I just, from what I see kind of popping up on my feed, I'm like, oh, the same teams. It's the same teams as always, competing for the top spot. So, but yeah, no, like you said, man, there's just so much football, which is kind of like, it's why I like, you know, focusing on the Canadian game, because it is, you know, I mean, it is the one sport, it is the one league where we can sit and watch, and there are people in the stands and there's a vested interest and we know people are paying attention. But to me, it's also nice because I get a little slice of America without all the commercials.
True.
Yeah, a little slice of North America, I should say. Somebody's probably listening. He's going to jump all over me on that. Believe me, at the way things are right now in the world, I mean, I'm sure there are a lot of people over in America that kind of wish they were in Canada at this point, but that's a whole nother topic. And so Mike can't join us tonight. And, it's just Dave and I. And I'm like all over the place. I've only had one cup of coffee. So for our live stream here, we're on YouTube. We're on my Facebook account because we don't have 100 followers on the Facebook page yet. But I also, we're also on Twitch. We're also on Twitter. We're also on X. We're also on Kix. And I'm also streaming this out to my own personal LinkedIn account. So, so we're kind of all over. So the technology, I'm figuring out the technology on my end with the new service we're using with Streamlabs. And so far it's worked. The only time it hasn't worked when I needed it to was the time after one of our episodes, I got kicked out of the studio and couldn't be let back in. It just was Dave and Mike hanging out. So that's where we're at with everything. And, but yeah, going back to what I said, we had a lot going on this week with football. And, you know, last week I made it like a handy dandy PowerPoint slide that I didn't know how to put up on the screen. I think I've got it figured out. So I'm going to try it now. Okay. So let me go to share slides. All right, upload. All right, well, let's see if this pulls up. Okay. For those who are listening on the podcast, I will make this PowerPoint available as part of the podcast in the podcast liner notes. All right, processing. So we'll give it a minute here before it pops up on the screen. So Dave, we'll start off, I guess, with the first game with the Argos and the Rough Riders.
Stampeders.
Was it Stampeders? Jeez. Yep. I told you, I've only got...
No way. No worries. But here's the thing. My simple highlight or overlaying experience of this game is if you got up, you obviously missed some scoring.
Oh, yeah.
There were lots. Calgary won 58-36. You had an unbelievable career day by Vernon Adams Jr. You had Chad Kelly throwing 4 more touchdowns, 2 more interceptions. An odd stat that I picked up that I enjoyed, 27 penalties were called on the day and almost 1,000 yards of offense. So
yeah, it had
a little of everything.
It was – so we're talking about week 4, obviously. Our show says week 5, but we're reviewing week 4. But yeah, like you said, man, and this is the handy dandy PowerPoint that I've been working on. Nice. So yeah, 58-36, you know, Calgary over Toronto, and I mean, a couple things here. First of all, Toronto had no defense at all.
They did. The defense did not have a good day, to say it politely.
And the thing is with this game, you know, I know at the beginning of the season, nobody was really talking about Calgary, but now I think people are going to start talking about Calgary because Vernon Adams Jr. Had a hell of a game, man. 6 TDs and he ran in for 1 TD.
Yep. He's the, if I remember correctly, if I read it right, he's the 5th. Quarterback in CFL history to throw for 400 yards, throw 6 touchdown passes, and commit no turnovers.
So, yeah,
wild. But it was entertaining, and this is CFL football at its finest. I've never paid money to come watch a CFL game to see defense, so it was highly entertaining, and the 94 points was amazing. Obviously, you'd like to see a little better defense, but I mean, they did combine for 9 punts as well, yeah. So they didn't score every single possession, but it was entertaining to say the least. And I think all this traveling has maybe Toronto hit the wall a little bit, which understandable is you're just going from one road game to another. So it's we'll see. It's going to be it's a long season with other things that happened, other games along the way. So 2-2 for both Toronto and both Calgary early into this season. I like I said, even with everything going on, if you would have told Toronto fans after 4 games would be 2-2, I don't think there'd be a person that wouldn't have taken that record.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. To come out. I mean, their next home game is what, at the end of the month?
Yeah, I think it's
their first real home game.
Yeah, Yeah, it's yeah. it's a month away.
Yeah. So if they can come out of this, you know, the first part of the season with at least a 500 record, and still be in playoff contention in the East, then it, you know, for Toronto, it's still a win no matter what.
Oh, definitely. And as we'll talk about, injuries always play a part in everything, but with the nine team league, injuries are going to happen, and they're going to impact. So, as long as you can hang around, you're never out of it.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, the thing is with this game too, it's another one of those games where you have that last, you know, that touchdown in the final seconds of the first half, which always, they've been talking a lot, yep. at least on two and out, they've mentioned it. It's the dagger. It feels yep. like it's the dagger for when that happens. And that happened in this, you know, in this game, we had Tevin Jones, 73 yard TD with 25 seconds left in the half. So, you know, two Calgary TDs in 90 seconds. And to me, that was when I looked at the game and I'm like, yeah, this game's over. I know how this is going to play out, but you know, Toronto just didn't lay down and die. I mean, they put points on the board the entire game. It was, mm-hmm. you know, any of the other games, they would have won the game or been in close, but in this one, they had no chance. Really,
yeah. And Chad Kelly, I thought had some good comments post game. He took responsibility for those two interceptions, and he was trying to force it. And understandable. I mean,
yeah.
When you come off the field and you look up and you're coming back on, they score seven more. You gotta force it. You gotta push the ball downfield. You gotta match him, and he was feeling the pressure, and he made some throws that he would obviously like to have back. So
yeah,
but it was good to hear. It was good to hear that confidence is there, and he's taking responsibility. Going, I have to be better, even though it may not have necessarily been his fault why they lost.
Right, and you know, I mean. On the other side of the ball, I mean, he had missed tackles, coverage leaks.
Yeah.
And then the offensive line, I mean, there was a lot of blame to go around in this game for Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
Really. I mean, it's, you know, Chad Kelly threw two interceptions, but, you know, it's just not all on him. I mean, everybody else played a part in the loss, which
yep.
football being the ultimate team sport, you know, people tend to forget that.
Yep. Yeah. And I believe Toronto was missing at least one offensive lineman. Everybody misses players and everyone has to step up, but that could have also helped give Calgary that an advantage that they obviously took advantage of.
Right. All right. So, you know, again, Vernon Adam Jr., I don't remember. Did they give an MVP for the game?
He got the Stampede, the Stampede Bowl Player of the Game. So yeah, he okay. got yes, and well deserved. Like I want to take nothing away from what Vernon Adams did. That was a masterful game he played. 80% completion percentage, moving the ball, keeping everything going. They got 100 yards on the ground on top of all that. So no, it was a well deserved Calgary win. I don't want to take anything away. I didn't want to imply that Toronto gave it to him or Toronto made mistakes. Calgary earned that win, definitely.
Oh, yeah. 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 I mean, any other game, any other team, if Toronto would have gone up against, they probably would have won. But in this game, you know, when your star quarterback gets hot, I mean, there's not much you can do after. I mean, it just, but, you know, who knows? I mean, next time these two teams play up, it could be a completely different ball game because we had uh-huh. we had, you know, one other game here that we'll talk about here at the end, which was a rematch from just a few weeks ago. And obviously we had a completely different result.
Yep.
So, all right. So moving on to the Rough Riders and Ottawa game. Ottawa started out strong, but then 27 points later, for the Rough Riders, your thoughts, man?
It was good to see Ottawa 0-3 come out and start and they started well, getting those 10, getting that 10-0 lead, I thought was important to the psyche of the club. It definitely gave them the feeling that we can compete, and that was good to see. Then the tides turned. The better team settled down and played their style of football. And it showed. And it looks like Ottawa's making some strides, which is great to see. They have more work still to be done. But Saskatchewan showed once again, they are one of the cream of the crop in the CFL this year. And just they muscled their way to a very impressive road win.
And you know, Saskatchewan, the big play for the big play everybody was talking about in this game was that 101-yard punt return for a TD, which really was the dagger that killed that killed the Red Blacks.
Correct. Yeah, definitely. It definitely took the wins out of a lot of sails. You saw a lot of heads go down after that, which is unfortunate because even to that point, Ottawa, they lost by 5.
Yeah, they still had a chance. I mean,
yeah, they were not out of it.
They were not out of it. But, you know, I mean, it's, you know, the defending champ. So Harris had, what, 18 completions, 243 yards, two TDs. Let's see. And then he passed Tom Clements for 12th in the CFL career passing yards. Keyshawn Johnson obviously is coming to his own with, you know, he had 10 catches, 137 yards, 23-yard TD. And then we already talked about Sexton with the punt return. And, you know, and then you had, you know, Tommy Stevens. I mean, obviously his rushing numbers weren't off the charts, but, you know, he made every yard count.
Yeah, it is. I'll say I am very impressed with Keyshawn's play this year. He has really, really stepped it up. He was obviously a good player before this, but it seems like he stepped his game up to even a higher level this year. It's great to see. He's been a great target for these first 4 weeks for Trevor Harris. It's great to see.
Yeah. And, you know, on the Ottawa side of the ball, I mean, they're no slouch offensively. I mean, you look at the yardage, you know, they had, but still, you know, 20, I mean, it's just not gelling yet. So I don't know. And I haven't pulled up the schedule for next week. I can't remember who has a bye just off the top of my head, but you know, at some point they're going to get that win and if when they do get that win, hopefully it's a big win. Hopefully it's a statement win because they're not out of it yet. They're still in play. I mean, they still could win the division. We got a lot of football to play.
Oh, yeah. BC has to bye next week and Ottawa goes to Edmonton.
Okay. Well, yeah, okay. Yeah, that's right. I do remember that now. And, you know, that Edmonton, I mean, with Edmonton losing – I mean, Edmonton, I think it's going to be a good game. I think it's I'm hopeful that there's going to be a big crowd in Edmonton, and it's going to be a good game because I think Ottawa can beat Edmonton. That's just my thought.
As we've seen every week, anybody can beat anybody. That's the great thing about this league is there's no just when you think that there's a given, this will be easy. All of a sudden, as you saw in the last game of the weekend, one of the starting quarterbacks went down early. This one's over. And then the other starting quarterback went down. We'll leave those out until we get there. And that just changed that whole game into it went from a good flow to a standstill.
Right. Yeah, and we're at that part of the season where things are starting to change. You know, we're going to start seeing changes. I mean, the thing, every CFL season starts the same way and ends the same way. Yep. With a whole different cast of characters ending the show, it seems like. So, but going back to, like I said, Ottawa, I mean, they were no slouch on offense. I mean, they they, as the numbers show, I mean, they had good stats. It was just that final stat on the stat on the scoreboard.
Yeah.
Didn't go their way. Let's see here. Talk about special play. I mean, special teams. So you had an intercept, AJ Allen's interception on the opening drive, Jake Mayer to, I mean, this is Ottawa was clicking at the very beginning of the game. And then, you know, we talked about on the other side of the ball, the punt return TD. And yeah, so I mean, both teams seem to be evenly matched in this game. And even is, you know, just taking a look at the, you know, taking a look at the box score. You know, I mean, only 5 points separated both teams, and Ottawa came out swinging, but then, you know, after that, after getting those first 10 points, Saskatchewan came back. I mean, Ottawa was only able to muster what, let's see, 3-3. The math is off. Hang on a second here.
Yeah. 12 points the rest of the game.
Okay. Yeah. I'm looking at my screen here. And I'm like, oh, that's not a zero. That's a six. So, because I'm looking at a smaller screen than you are right now. And, yeah, so they, I mean, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I felt bad for the Ottawa fans, but what can you do? I mean, I think they're trying. They're not laying down. The team's definitely not laying down. It's just not clicking yet. So hopefully next weekend it'll click for them. Go ahead.
And you can read the frustration in Ryan Didwitty's press game.
Oh, yeah.
You can tell he is definitely, he felt that they should have won this game. Just the comments, the way he, the way he phrased the words he used, he definitely felt as though this one slipped away and they gave it to their, they gave it to Saskatchewan.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, no, I agree. All right. Okay. So let's move on here to the next game. We had BC, you know, I wouldn't say it was the upset. I think everybody was expecting BC to kind of come out of their shell and finally win one. But they won it, I guess I would say, handedly against Edmonton and Kelowna. What do you – I mean, it was a huge crowd, you know, 19,000. I don't know if it was as many as last week, but it was still a big crowd, much bigger usually than what they get in the at BC place. So – but yeah, they beat the Elks by 12 points.
You know what? It was an upset in my thought that I was expecting BC to put 36 on the board. It seems like they've kind of struggled a little bit on the offense, but 29 in the first half, great numbers, great attack, and Buck Pierce had a good game plan for the team. It was very, it was a good mix up of running and passing. And then I think that allowed them to really keep the ball moving down the field. And I think that really helped Nathan Work. I mean, they 67% of second downs they made in the game. That's just incredible. I think that really, really kept the pressure off. Where they weren't having, it wasn't second and seven. There wasn't where the defense can sit back and just wait for that pass or flood some zones on Nathan Rourke. So it was good to see. I was a little surprised the Edmonton defense gave up 29 in the first half. But when you're not stopping teams on first downs, when you're giving them easy convertible second downs, you're going to be on the field. And Nathan worked. The name of the game is move the ball down the field and score points, and that's what BC did. And
yeah,
I mean, it seems like I was watching the game. I was joking. It's like they get to halftime, like, all right, it's 29-21. We're going to have a shootout. This is going to be great. And it's like, oh, I think both teams forgot there was a third quarter.
yeah. I remember they were talking about the third quarter stats. They were like, yeah. I mean, their impression was, okay, what happened here? And nobody,
yeah,
no, everybody was same. Everybody was thinking the same thing that you were.
Yeah, they're gassed. Like, oh, yeah, slow this down, folks. We're it is way too much.
Yeah. Well, Nathan Rourke came out firing, and he had two interceptions, but those were deflected passes. So those weren't even – I mean, yes, they were technically interceptions, but I don't know. A deflected pass, I look at differently than a than a pure just, you know, pick six or you're throwing it to the wrong guy.
Yep, yep. And they – BC did a really good job of bottling up Justin Rankin on the ground.
Yeah.
Now he had 100 yards through the air.
Right.
But in for – I would say most of that second quarter and second half, Edmonton had to throw the ball to keep up, to keep pace.
You know, I was surprised by that too. I mean, because they had him on in the pregame show, and I think I can't remember who was the pregame show the night before. I think it was the night before. It was obviously the day before, and I just expected him just to be tearing it up on the ground, but not expecting him to be more of a receiver. More of a receiver than he was a runner in the game.
Yeah, and it was really odd. Edmonton only had 7 rushes. He only had 7 rushes, 9 for the team, for the entire game. So it just seemed it didn't seem like – I mean, I say Edmonton fell behind, so now they had to keep moving the ball. But I don't think it was any point in the first half. It was – the game was so out of reach that they had abandoned the run. So it wasn't, I don't know. It just seemed like either Edmonton wasn't comfortable with the game plan they came into it, because it seems like they easily changed and got away from the bread and butter that's gotten them this far into the season.
You know, you can't win every game you play. So, I mean, Edmonton's in a pretty good position, even with the one loss, this loss. I mean, no team ever goes undefeated in the CFL. So you've got to have a loss somewhere along the way. And, you know, I mean, you know, BC needed a win too. That was the other thing too. No team goes winless in the CFL. I mean, I can't remember any team's ever gone winless. I'm sure somebody out there is listening will be able to tell us. But off the top of my head, I can't think of a team that's ever gone winless. I know some teams have come close, the Ottawa Redblacks being one of them that first season. But, it was a good win for BC. And, you know, I mean, I guess the big story coming out of last week was the special teams coordinator was fired. So now – It's special teams operated by committee right now with BC. So, you know, but I can tell you this much: special teams did not win them this game. Did not win this game for them. So I think the only time we talk about special teams is when they lose it for you.
So true. Yeah. See how it works.
Yeah. All right. Let's see. And then, you know, on the Elks side of the house, you know, Cody Fajardo had a great game. I mean, I wouldn't say great game, but he had 3 touchdowns, but then he was balanced it out by 3 interceptions. You know, in terms of the people that caught the ball, you had Austin Mack. He was 8 for 141 yards and a TD. Going back to what you said, the Edmonton from the previous week didn't show up this week, really.
No, they did not. But like you said, it's really tough to go undefeated. So there's going to be some stinkers along the way. And I mean, Cody Fajardo had just short of 400 yards passing. So it was 51. I think he had 51 passes completed in the 30. So it was minus interceptions, a good day. But it seemed like BC did a really good job. Like I said earlier, BC did a really good job of getting them out of their flow, which got them into that passing, which that's just not who they are. That's not Cody Fajardo has never been a quarterback that's going to go out there and win that game slinging the rock around. He needs that running game to set up the pass and to keep the ball moving. And so, but we'll see. They play Ottawa next week. Should be interesting. BC has their bye week, and I know you showed that graphic up a couple of minutes ago, but really nice game by Xander Horvath. I actually picked him up for my fantasy team, and pretty much the reason I won is because of his game. And because Justin Rankin did not have a good game.
You know, I didn't get in on that fantasy this year, not even thinking about it. Now, with the fantasy league, are you just in a generic league or are you with?
I'm with the guys from Two and Out.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, because they were talking about their fantasy league. How many people are in the Two and Out league?
The problem is it's because there's only six.
Really?
Yeah, because the way they there's only six, so each there's basically 2 6-team leagues, and they basically sent this message out, and I jumped on it, and it's like I think within like 13 or 14 minutes, all 10 spots were filled because there was basically they split each other up, so they each have their own division, and five people got in. So there's only did that because of what happened was. Because of the World Cup this year, there's so many weeks with just six. It started with six. You couldn't really have more than that because you didn't have enough players.
Right.
And what they did it's gonna be really interesting to see. And now with the injuries, this is where it's really gonna play out. They're allowing you for the quarterback position to also flex it.
Oh, so you can move a wide receiver or a running back.
Yes. So it's gonna be really interesting with Zach Kolaris with the quarterbacks who are now injured for those teams to be able to find to place someone else in that if they don't want to go the route of the backup because with six teams and I'm sorry I'm getting off topic but real quick in the draft, you're allowed to draft one kicker and one quarterback. But when after the draft through free agents, you can pick up a second quarterback and a second kicker. Okay. But drafting, you only can have the one. So I ended up right after the draft realizing a couple of these guys are duds. I went back, dropped two guys, picked up a backup quarterback, picked up a backup kicker because every week one of these guys are going to be on a bye.
Yeah,
and it's in the same thing. It's like I'm in the rare position where I have two quarterbacks, two kickers, and two defenses because you need them in this.
That's the key to fantasy football is having depth on your bench. It's not who's really your starters. I mean, they're important too, but it's you know, I mean, it's every year playing, you know, NFL fantasy. That's the key thing going in. It's like, okay. I'm more worried about my bench than I am worried about who I'm picking in the first couple rounds because those are the workhorses. So now that's cool. Yeah. I didn't realize you were in the two and out one. Cause they were talking the fantasy league yesterday and I'm like, huh, I wish I could have gotten in there, but we're apparently in there. So nice.
They say it was such a random thing. It's like, it was a quick pop. I said, yes. And all of a sudden they got the next thing they post down there that, within moments, they had 10 people, which I'm not surprised.
I'm not surprised either. It's such a great podcast. And, you know, those guys, you know, Sheldon and Travis do a great job with covering the league. So, yeah, that's not surprising at all. So, and if Travis or Sheldon, if you're watching or anything, hey, you guys always do a great show. Keep up the great work. All right. So, moving on here to the next game, we had Winnipeg. Wait a minute. Did I miss a game here?
No.
Okay. Well, I can tell you, it's morning time here, and I've only had one cup of coffee. So I'm like going through. I'm like, wait a minute. Okay. So for the final game, and this is the one that's, I mean, everybody's talking about, but Winnipeg 14-13 over Hamilton, the big story of the game. I mean, we can sit here and we can talk about all the stats and who did what, but there's only really one story in this game, and that's Bo Levi Mitchell breaking his ankle.
Yep. That's so unfortunate. I've been reading online so many fans, regardless of what team they follow, just to see the injury like this happening to them. Obviously, if you're a fan of the other eight teams and you're not a fan of Hamilton, you want to beat them on the field, but you want to beat them with their best players. So it was it was a tough injury, a tough time for it to happen. If they're not talking about how long Bo Levi Mitchell is out, is the other question about Hamilton is what's going to happen at quarterback, because it looks like
Trey Ford ain't going to be the guy to carry
both
him.
Both backups did not look good.
No,
they did not look good. So it's going to be interesting to see if they decide the route, what Hamilton's plan is moving forward, because it's going to be at least 10, 12 weeks, 14 weeks.
Oh yeah. I mean, my theory is, and you and I, you know, we were texting off, you know, before we hit the record button, I think he's out for the season. I can't see him coming back because it's a broken ankle. Now, obviously medical technology and everything makes recovery, I mean, it's a lot easier to recover from something like that in the 21st century versus, say, the 20th century. Mm-hmm. But still, a broken ankle is a broken ankle. I don't know what they're going to do. I mean, yeah, their backups look pedestrian at best.
Yeah. And it'll be
– yeah.
Go ahead. Sorry, man. No, go. Sorry.
Yeah, Trey Ford is definitely not the answer. And I don't know who would be available for them to trade for.
That'd be very interesting. No, that's the case. I mean, that's the key question right now, because definitely Trey Ford did not look ready.
No,
he just didn't. It just wasn't. It's such a change. It's such a change in offense.
Oh yeah,
from one quarterback to the next, they're all. I would say, right, to the most part, all three are different in many aspects of the game. So it's hard to run that offense and then put Trey Ford in there. So,
yeah,
it wasn't like Taylor Elgersma was lighting up the night either.
Yeah. But of the two, you know, Zach Kolaris went out. He had an injury, and he was on the sidelines. It wasn't like, you know, with Bo Levi, they had an ambulance come and get him off the field. So, so I would expect that Zach is coming back at some point.
Yeah. Go
ahead.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to jump in like that. They also have Drew Brown that they just traded for a week ago. So he's going to, if for some reason Zach needs a couple weeks, they have a proven commodity who can step in and play.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I mean, here is an opportunity though for the UFL to shine if, you know, Hamilton decides to look south amongst, I mean, say the Louisville quarterback. I'm just throwing that out there. And I don't know, and I don't follow the UFL close enough to know who got invited to an NFL camp or not, but you had the kid that won for Louisville. I mean, mm-hmm. I would think he would be available.
Yeah,
for a tryout.
I'll be honest. Right now, Hamilton's best bet is to find the quarterback with the strongest arm, but they need a commanding presence back there, because that's it's not like they can rely upon their ground. Like, they don't have an experienced ground game. Larry Roundtree has done what they needed. But he is not the veteran you lean on in time like this. Mm-hmm. So they're going to need to find something to get, if they stick with Trey Ford, to get him comfortable, whether it's running from the shotgun and run out of that, but they gotta get him back there and get him time and get him comfortable. And that's what they really need to do. And it will be interesting. That is certainly the case, because they it's not like it slows down for them. At least they have till Sunday. They're not playing again till Sunday night, but they do travel to Saskatchewan. So that is not an easy place to play, I should say. So it's gonna be an interesting week.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm pulling up the CFL website. just to see if there's anything new. And just that he underwent successful ankle surgery this morning is in good spirits. That's yeah. really where we're at right now. So, yeah, I mean, talking about the rest of the game, I mean, it just the momentum of the entire game changed when both quarterbacks got injured. And, you know, again, 14-13 was the final score. I mean, it was – I mean, the whole game shifted. I mean, it's mm-hmm. – and the score shows that. I mean, because the way Hamilton came out, they were slinging the ball. I mean, they were – I would have – had Bo not gotten hurt, I would at least expect 28 points for Hamilton this game.
Yeah, I think Hamilton would have won this game like 28-20 at the worst. I don't – I think you would see Elgersmott have to push the ball more because he mm-hmm. with – to say keep up with the Levi Mitchell's offense. And once that changed, they could run the ball more, get Oliveira, get him more involved into it, slow the game down to where it was – okay, CFL football is never a ground and pound, but make it a manageable game where, once again, field goal at the end wins the game.
Yeah, well, and this is where, you know, people always kind of piss all over the Rouge, but the Rouge mattered this game because
sure did.
Yeah, you know, I mean that was the difference. I'm looking at the score, going, wait a minute. Somebody no, nobody missed an extra point. That's right. There was a Rouge there in the second half. Yeah, I mean, it just with the star quarterbacks out, everything changed, and it just became a game of, hey, let's not lose this game.
Mm-hmm.
Both teams played not to win, but not to lose.
Yep.
And so where we go from here, it's going to be interesting is, you know, we get to next week. And again, really the more interesting part is Hamilton, what do they do? Who could they get? Who could they bring in to have that command presence be, you know, at quarterback? I don't know.
It's, yeah.
I mean, all the big names are playing for somebody.
Yep, and they don't go on a bye for – they're playing the next 3 weeks, so they don't go on a bye for close to a month.
Yeah. So either Trey Ford's got to step it up and figure it out, or it's going to be a long season in Hamilton.
Yeah.
Of mediocre football. I mean, that's just my thought. So,
You're right. You're definitely right. There's no easy answer. So,
yeah. Yeah. All right. So we covered all four games. Again, I was, as we were going through these slides and everything, and me with only one cup of coffee, like, wait a minute, thought we missed. Oh no, we didn't miss a game. So thought maybe I had, yeah, some of my slides had fallen out or something. So, all right. So let's look forward. Let's look ahead to next week here. So we got next week is week six going into week six. Or is this week six? It's hard to, you know, this is week five. You know, how I've done all the slides for our YouTube video and our titles and everything kind of throws me off, but we're wrapping up week five and now we're going into week six, but we also had to cover, yeah, I don't know, it's all confusing.
With the way the buys work, it is week six because everyone's had at least one buy. Some teams have had two, so it's just how it works.
Yeah, I think I might have to adjust the slides on the power on the YouTube on the YouTube and the podcast on the podcast titles, because now I'm getting confused here. But no, we're sitting here talking about week five, and last week, week four started the Canada Day week. Yeah. Never mind me. I'll figure it out. So going into week six, we've got Ottawa at Edmonton. We've got Toronto at Winnipeg. We've got Calgary at Montreal, and then we've got Hamilton at Saskatchewan. So, I don't know. I'm just looking at these four, and right off the top of my head, I'm picking Edmonton. I'm picking Toronto. I'm picking the Montreal-Calgary one is kind of a toss-up to me. And I'm definitely picking Saskatchewan against Hamilton. What are your thoughts?
As much as I can see the home team sweep this week, but it seems like that's really hard. That doesn't happen too often in the CFL. So the two that I could see that could possibly happen would be either Toronto or Calgary. But Montreal's defense is so tough. I don't see Vernon Adams having that same week or getting 300 yards and four touchdowns against that Montreal defense. I just don't see that. And I'll be honest, a lot of Winnipeg's going to happen on what's the status of Claris this week. So if they have to play, I mean, Drew Brown's question will be, is Drew Brown ready? How many snaps has he had? So that's the thing. It's like, you'll need somebody, to be honest, you'll need somebody to move that ball up and down the field, because Toronto's going to score at least 30 points. That's just how they roll. They might give up 50, but they're going to score at least 30 every week.
Yeah. 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 So, and then the games too, just see what time the games are, especially for me over here. Cause if it's a day game, I'm watching it on demand. I am not watching it live, but
it looks like Thursday night, Friday, Saturday, Sunday night, all night games again.
There we go. Unless something happens here, I should be able to watch all the games live on CFL Plus. And now over there right now, you haven't missed a beat with watching any games between CBS Sports and CFL Plus, have you?
Yeah, I have not. It's heavy CBS Sports Network early. And it's been like one game a weekend. Like the Thursday night game will be on CFL Plus, and then the rest of the weekend will be on CBS Network or CBS Sports Network. And that'll go like that for a little ways till about August. And then once you get to college, once you get to the pros, you might get one game a weekend at best on CBS Sports Network. And then towards the end of the year, it's all CFL Plus, but then they'll might spatter in one game or two.
Yeah.
It's just tough once we get going towards the end of the season with the NFL schedule, they're with how much money they pay for that.
Well, which kind of begs the question going into next season with the TV deals. You don't have access to DAZN in the States, do you?
We do. We have it. Yes.
Okay.
But it's for us here. Honestly, if you're not a fight fan, that's pretty much what it is here in the U.S. It's all it's all fights. You might get some cricket. They do have like a free package, but it's nothing of significance.
Yeah, because the reason why I'm asking is, so when next year, I don't remember, did they even talk much about the U.S., how it's going to go in the U.S. to watch the CFL? Is it just going to stay?
They have not announced that as of yet. So
okay.
I can't remember how much. I can't remember how many years were left on that. I'm assuming it's going to line up with the rest of their packages, where the CBS Sports Network deal ends at the end of this year. But it might be one of those things where they're going to wait and see what the numbers come back, and CBS might say, look, or Paramount might say, hey, look, we want to see how this runs through this year and see where we go, because they paid triple what ESPN was paying. So that's why they made that move. So I don't see them going back to ESPN anytime soon.
Okay. Yeah. No, I was just off the top of my head as I was looking at thinking about it. I'm like, wait a minute, for next season, because CFL Plus is going away. And obviously, like you said, once college football season starts, CBS Sports goes complete college mode at that point. And then the CFL gets kind of left in the dirt up until like the playoffs start and the Grey Cup.
I'm curious if that's where the YouTube portion of this deal really takes place. I know they were talking about when they announced it that one of the things with YouTube is they're going to do a lot more features, a lot more storytelling. All right. But I'm curious if that's how they're, if that'd be one avenue that they utilize that for the U.S. network or for the U.S. audience. But I'm not sure. I'm just not sure if there's a way to break that out. Is it YouTube America? So it's not YouTube where you are because you have to get the zone. I just don't know because there's a lot of different things you're hearing about how DAZN's going to make this work. There's reports that it's going to be part of the NFL package. There's also reports that, and this has not been verified, but I've heard that the Saturday night game on DAZN is potentially being offered free to Canadian viewers for the first year.
Okay. Yeah, that would make sense because, I mean.
Yeah. So it just, but there's got to be a way. There's all this money on the line. There's got to be a value for whoever it's going to be producing this game. So I just don't know outside of North America what those numbers are going to be.
Right.
I don't see someone in Poland or England or Scotland buying the CFL package.
Yeah. Well, the only ones I could see are the ones that work at the embassies.
But you know what I mean? But I'm just saying, like, for the money that they're paying, there's got to be something on there.
There's got to be some meat on the bone
that they need to get back.
Right. I agree. You know, and... You know, being over here, I mean, there's a lot of Canadians here in Japan. I mean, I could think of, like, you know, in terms of CFL fans, I know at least four off the top of my head. So, how they work it with this, excuse me, how they work it with DAZN. I've got DAZN. I got the NFL package with DAZN. I'm set watching it. So there's not going to be, I'm not going to miss a beat here, but over in the States, seeing the States too, is the major international market for the CFL. Yeah, I'm sure they're going to figure it out. But they had a great thing going with ESPN and everything, but what they were getting for that rights deal was like in the hundreds of dollars, I think, if memory serves me correct from what Randy Ambrosi kind of hinted at. It's like, yeah, we're not getting much. So,
yeah. I heard the last year the deal was $1 million and CBS offered $3 million. So they went to CBS. So that's the thing. That just shows you how things have changed. So if that's true, and CBS Sportsnet is paying $3 million to get 30 some games, the deal of the century for them.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Because they're doing they control the ad space. It's for the cost of content today. That's one of the best deals made.
Oh, that's a steal. And that's $3 million over how many years?
I thought it was like three. I thought it was $3 million a year.
Okay. All right. Well, that's what the internet's for. I'll have to go and take a look.
And it's tough because there's no real, even the announcement is, you know, terms there, the priorities have not released the terms, but
right.
Different things you hear and listen to and speculation. Same thing with this latest deal. It's never truly announced, but there's enough people who hear enough things where you get a good value where you know it's around a certain value.
Right. And also too, you know, with all that you got going on, is the field going to change or maybe it's not going to change now? Are we going to have a 10th team announced at some point in Quebec City? I would assume, to me, I think that's coming by the end of the season. They're trying to figure something out for Quebec City. Because, I mean, it's the largest city in Canada that doesn't have a CFL team. So, to me, it's kind of like, okay, you know. And, you know, they like football there. And they don't have a hockey. They don't have any pro sports to compete against in Quebec City. So, all right. We've talked CFL. Let's wrap it up. Let's talk books. Let's talk about, what football book do you have on your bookshelf right now?
Right now.
Which one are you reading?
I get it tomorrow, so I don't have it yet, but I am really psyched. I just picked up the Memphis Showboats.
It's a good book. I started reading him halfway through it. I need to pick it back up and finish it off.
I've been looking at it, by Keith Wood. I've been looking at it, and then Sunday or yesterday, they got the offered.
Then you also got the Gunslingers one too, right?
Yes, I do. But okay. So the Showboats book, I got an offer yesterday to take $11 off the printed book.
Oh, okay.
So I'm like, huh, I wasn't planning on doing that, but it made the printed book cheaper than the Kindle book.
Nice. And you have room for it.
Yep, and I get that delivered tomorrow. But that Gunslinger book was good. I'm not sure if you had a chance to check out the podcast yet, but that was really good.
You're talking about Good Seats Still Available, Tim Hamlin's interview.
Yeah, but
Tim's always got great interviews with guys, with authors.
And I have to say, since I finished the book on the 1964 Bills, I am currently reading a non-football book. I apologize.
I know how you feel. I've got it. Sometimes I got to switch gears. I can't go all football all the time. I got to switch gears.
I'm reading Bret Hart's autobiography, Hitman.
Oh, okay. So,
it's really good. I have to say it was for someone who a lot of my childhood watching on television. It's been a good read.
You know, talking about wrestlers, you know who I would love to read a biography on? And maybe somebody's working on it, but it's a biography on the Macho Man, Randy Savage.
Oh.
Yeah, he was from Chicago.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, yep. He played. I think he went to either went to Downers Grove North or South. But there's a, you know, I guess he had I think it was the Independence Day parade at Downers Grove. They had. I just saw on Facebook that he had a float or something. They had a float for him. So
that's awesome.
So to me Yeah, but no, I'm like you. Sometimes I just got to switch gears. Can't go all sports all the time. I got to change it up a little bit. So I did finish up The Lost Super Bowls by Tom Daniluk. That was okay. That was good. It was a good book. You don't have to read it all at once because, you know, each lost Super Bowl, you don't have to rely on what happened in previous chapters to follow along, but that was good. But that was one of those that was for free to read on Amazon, on Kindle. And the other one I just finished up yesterday was Mike Florio's Big Sheep.
I did get that. I've not opened that up yet, but I did get that.
Yeah, it's an easy read. It's good. It's a good cautionary tale. And he does a good job of weaving the NFL in there without opening up for a lawsuit by the NFL. I think he only mentions the word NFL once in there, but it's really good. It's a good cautionary table about gambling and where we're at. He sets it in kind of like the near future because they talk about a 20 game schedule. So, which I thought was interesting, but it's fiction. But like I said, you know, he's talking about the NFL without him really mentioning it. And in the end, you can see that, you know, this might even be happening now with the main character. You know, the main character is a quarterback, plays for first he played for the Raiders, then he played for the Ravens. You know, they don't use those team names in there, but and it has to do with a third string quarterback who you know, thought he was going to make a quick buck and realized he got more than he bargained for. And so that's what I just wrapped up. And now the one I'm currently reading is There You Have It, the biography of Howard Cosell, which so far about chapter and a half into it, pretty good. And anything about Howard Cosell, I jump on because he's probably the most fascinating character from the NFL, you know, the most fascinating character in sports of the 20th century, at least to me personally. So that's it. That's what I got going here. And so with all that said, as we wrap everything up here, hey, if you're looking to find us, we're at gridironamerica.net, and you can find us on X at Gridiron AM Radio, and pretty much everywhere else at Gridiron America, and our YouTube page is Gridiron America TV. But just type in Gridiron America in your Google search bar, and we'll come up somewhere. I did that the other day just to see how quick you could find our stuff. So yeah, type in Gridiron America or Gridiron America TV. It'll go right to all our links. And we are on the Sports History Network. So if you're prowling around, if you find us there, check out the other podcast on the network. We've got our podcast, our other podcast, the What If, the alternative sports history show. That's going to be coming out at some point this summer. Dave and I are still working out the bugs with programs and spreadsheets and data and trying to get everything right. So when we do have a panel discussion, we kind of know what the hell we're talking about. So that's why we're doing all this prep work at a time. So Dave, any final thoughts before I hit the end button?
I'm really looking forward to the What If that we that we started off with. Yeah, I'm not going to give any information on it, but it's pretty exciting, and stay tuned.
Yeah, definitely going to give people food for thought. So, but yeah, it's taken us a little while because we got to perfect the software that's going to help make our case, either make our case for or against whatever position we put out there. So, all right. So all that said, hey, thank you very much for tuning in. And Mike, if you're listening or watching, we'll see you next week. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.
Hi, this is Joe Ziemba, and I'm the host of the podcast When Football Was Football here on the Sports History Network. This podcast is based on stories, events, and characters from my book called When Football Was Football, The Chicago Cardinals and the Birth of the NFL, which was written shortly after the Cardinals won their last championship in 1947, or so it seems. The reason for this message is twofold. First, to share the great news that the second edition of the book has just been released by McFarland Publishers, and all Sports History Network listeners can now enter a special Sports History Network contest for the opportunity to win one of two free copies of When Football Was Football. We'll be happy to include a personal inscription in each winner's book and then send it out to you with our best wishes. The new book contains about 80 more pages than the original, almost all new archival photos, additions within all chapters based on new research, and an update on the players, coaches, and administrators mentioned in the book. It's everything you ever wanted to know about the early Cardinals, as well as the NFL itself. To enter this free giveaway, go to sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways. Thank you.